chapter 12. We're at the end of Daniel. Somebody said, no, we can't be done, but I can't write any more to it. So this is the last chapter. Daniel chapter 12. 13 verses of pretty amazing stuff. It's called God's Final Deadline. Now you recall, as Daniel was listening to the angel speak to him, he was talking about the things that are going to be coming along at the end. And in verse 1 of chapter 12 it says, at that time Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness in the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up the seal, the words of the scroll, until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then the end of the days, at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, and I just thank you again that even hundreds of years before Jesus came to this earth, you were already telling what was going to happen in the end times. And Lord, it's so amazing when we just stop to consider that so many people are so blinded to this, and they don't understand it, and they don't know what's coming down the course, and they never really even comprehended the fact that the day is coming, and it's coming soon, Lord. And I pray that you'll just help us, Lord, even tonight as we look through these verses that are read tonight, that you'll help us understand even more about what you're up to and what you're doing. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, God's Word is the book of life. It's truth. There's no doubt about it. The book of life is mentioned multiple times in Scripture. Back in the last chapter, it's mentioned multiple times in Revelation. It's referred to as also as the Lamb's Book of Life. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, it says, if we'll get there in just a second. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. I thought everybody's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. But some will be blotted out. Okay? Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. And I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but I will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. So there it is. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 14. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Now, the question is for every person, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Jesus said, I will never blot out the name of that person from the Book of Life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and His angels. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and it will never be blotted out. Your name is there. But everybody's name is also there. Will it be blotted out? Why should it be? Because you rejected the Lamb of God. You see, everybody has a chance to come to know Jesus. Everybody has a chance to hear the gospel. Everybody has a chance to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the only reason that their name won't be in the Lamb's Book of Life is because they've rejected Him. God's truth. First of all, there is a Book of Life. Second of all, there are two future resurrections. In verse 2, it talks about there's going to be time of resurrections. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, I just want to pause there for just a second and say this. Some people think, well, when you die, you go to sleep for a long time and then you wake up sometime. In fact, there are some people who built doctrines upon sleeping until that such time comes along. They call it sleeping in Christ. When people come up with theories like that, what they're doing is trying to put something into focus that's based upon our physical lives. See, we understand sleep. Not much of it, but we understand sleep, right? Okay, so we realize we go to sleep at night, we wake up in the morning, we don't really remember a whole lot that happened and all that kind of stuff. And so people get that picture when it's talking about this. But remember that everything that happens in eternity in God's sphere happens outside this bubble of time. Outside this bubble of time. So when you die, Paul says, when you die, you're with Christ. See, we always keep it in this time thing. We think, oh, okay, well, if I die tomorrow and this resurrection isn't till 100 years from now, then I'm going to be sleeping for 100 years, I guess, or I'm going to be, you know, shut up somewhere. No. As soon as you die, you're going to be with Jesus. That's what Scripture says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's right. That's exactly right. So anyway, just remember that when we're going through this, because a lot of people get stuck on that and they go, well, wait a minute. How does that work? It works because we won't be confined by time any longer. Time will be no more. The resurrection of the saved, that's called the first resurrection. There'll be no second death for them. Okay, you only die once, physically. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 says it like this. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear the voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Now you might think, oh man, that sounds like it's based on doing good or bad. No, what you do that is good is you accept Jesus. Right? Okay. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed are the holy, those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Talking about the 1,000 years of Christ reigning here on this earth. Scripture says they'll be raised to eternal life with Him. Job chapter 19. Isn't it interesting? One of the oldest scriptures, the oldest books in the Bible, Job is already talking about stuff like this. Verse 19, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end He will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Job already knew this. The resurrection of the lost. There's also going to be a resurrection of the lost. The resurrection of the lost brings them to judgment. That's called the second resurrection, and it leads then to the second death. Revelation chapter 20 talks about this in a couple different places. Verses 5 and 6, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Now see, we're still inside the time bubble, but they're not going to understand that. They're going to, when they die, they're going to stand before God. Okay? This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. And then Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up their dead that were in it, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into this lake of fire. Now, here's what's going to happen, folks. Those people who've accepted Jesus, they're going to be resurrected and be with Him. Those people who did not accept Jesus, they're going to be resurrected, and then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire with Satan and all of his demons. God's truth is there's a book of life, there's two future resurrections, and there are those who shine for Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 3. It says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness are like stars forever and ever. Have you ever wondered about these people that we call stars? Movie stars, Hollywood stars, athletic stars. I mean, we think, oh man, these people are so amazing. So, you know, and we as a, huh?
Not really.
I know, right? But it seems like we as a nation, we just worship these people. We think they're so amazing. But what about being a star for Him? You see, you're either going to lead people to Him or away from Him. Many sailors navigate by the stars. Why? Because they're consistent and reliable. Have you ever thought about yourself being that for someone else? Being consistent and reliable? They know they can always count on you to do what you're supposed to do. They can see God at work in your life. And even in the tough times, you don't throw in the towel and you don't walk away. You stay the course. People are looking for people like that. Star qualities. In this verse, it says they shine in the darkness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I always like that part because it says, they see what you're doing, but they don't glorify you. They glorify the Father because they see that you're doing it for Him. Shine in the darkness and shine consistently. And that means every day and every night. You can't just do it on Sunday. You can't just do it a couple of days a week. You need to shine for Him. Be salt and light. God's truth is there are those who shine for Jesus. God's truth is also there's going to be an explosion of travel and information in the last days. Look at what it says in verse 4. But you, Daniel, close up the seal, the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase their knowledge. Literally, increased ability to travel. Men will go here and there. I love this illustration by Sir Isaac Newton. Let's go to the next one here. Did I skip something? Yeah, here we go. Okay. I probably went too fast, but here we go. Coming up next. Okay. So this is an actual illustration. Sir Isaac Newton, often called the father of modern physics, was a committed Christian and perhaps the first scientist to see God's hand in the orderly design of the universe. In 1680, Sir Isaac Newton read these words in Daniel and said, personally, I cannot help but believe that these words refer to the end times. Men will travel from country to country in an unprecedented manner. There will be some inventions will enable people to travel much more quickly than they do now. Sir Isaac Newton went on to suggest that this speed might exceed 50 miles per hour. Some years later, the French atheist Voltaire read the words of Newton and scoffed. See what a fool Christianity makes of an otherwise brilliant man? Here's a scientist like Newton actually writes that men may travel at the rate of 40 or 50 miles per hour. Has he forgotten that if a man traveled at this rate, he would be suffocated? His heart would stand still. Isn't that crazy? People don't, they couldn't comprehend. How could we possibly go 50 miles an hour? Now you can jump on a plane and go 700 miles an hour. And by the way, I always wondered, if you're in a plane going 700 miles an hour and there's a fly in there and he flies past you, is he flying faster than 700 miles an hour? Anyway, I just threw that out there. It'll make you think later on tonight you'll be going, I wonder. Okay, so that's true. No. Okay. I guess in the air capacity it might... Okay. Never mind. Okay. Information explosion. To increase knowledge here, the literal translation means that the knowledge of this world will be increased tremendously. The over 1,000 books that I've accumulated can now be stored on a zip drive. I mean, these things are just incomprehensible. Just in my lifetime, I went from getting a message from somebody to having to go back to the church to find out what's going on, to then find out I had needed to go to the hospital to visit somebody. And then they put this little thing on my waist that was called a beeper, and it would go off and I would see a phone number on there, and then I had to find a pay phone and I had to have a quarter to call to find out what's going on. And then I got one of those big block telephones and they could call me on my telephone, and I didn't have to find a pay phone and I didn't have to carry a beeper. And now we carry a computer in our pocket. You know? It's crazy. Huh? But you do it. Occasionally. All right. We come up with these thoughts. Just Google it. Where was Google 20 years ago? Smartphones, right? Okay, so Matthew 24:33 talks a little bit more about this. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that is near, right at the door. Right at the door. 24:44 says it like this. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. I tell you what, folks. It's going to come so quickly and so unexpectedly, and it's going to take so many people by surprise that they're just not going to know what's going on. And this world is already trying to manufacture something to explain what's going to happen. It must have been an extraterrestrial something or another. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff that's going to go on. God's truth. His prophecy is, by the way, always fulfilled. Verses 4 through 12 tell us this. To understand yet Daniel is an evidence that we are near the end. You see, we people who read this 100 years ago, they couldn't see any of this coming, because none of this made sense to them. But it makes sense now. And because it makes sense, it tells us that the end is coming very soon. Daniel is becoming more understandable every single day. There's a timeline given here. Verses 5 through 11 spell it out for us. There's going to be 3.5 years after the time of sacrifice is abolished. When the Antichrist allows the temple to be rebuilt, he's going to allow sacrifices to begin again, and the Jewish people are going to again start sacrificing lambs. And he'll allow that to go on for 3.5 years. But at the end of that 3.5 years, as we read last time, he's going to say, that's it, it's over, now you're going to worship me. It says here that the power of the holy people is broken. That's what happens when he does this. He goes in and he sets himself up to be worshipped. And for 1,290 days and then 1,335 days, the two different days are given, because at the end of that, there will be a time of sealing up. And we can't exactly understand right now what that means. But again, the closer we get to it, the more we may understand it. There's going to be a time where He sets Himself as the abomination that brings desolation in the temple and sets Him up to be worshipped as God. That's what Satan has always wanted. He's always wanted to be worshipped. God's truth, rest and reward for His faithful ones. Look at what it says in verse 13. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Go your way. It's not a selfish phrase. Literally means it continues to walk in the way you've been walking, in a faithful manner. Don't let the things that happen around you keep you from living for Me. You see, the early Christians were called the Way for this reason. They went about the way of Christ. Now, I wonder if people looked at us, they would see that as well. Did I skip over those little picture slides, by the way?
Long time ago.
I should have written it down in here. Can we go back to that? I think if you just... If you double click on it, it'll pop up there, I think. Yeah. You didn't. You must have flown through them, because no, it's back. I should have marked. Yeah, I should have. Yeah, it's back a little farther back. It's before that. I knew I should have written it down here. Sorry. Okay, just keep going. Maybe you'll hit it. I did this for a reason, of course, but then I forgot to say something about it. I think we're getting close. Oh, okay. Sylvester Stallone, Rocky. Okay. All right, next one. Cary Grant. Chuck Norris. Audrey Hepburn. You know all these old ones, see? Right? Yeah. She knows all these, okay. John Wayne. The Duke. Now, these last two, you might not know who they are. You see, these other ones, famous movie stars, and it seems like everybody knows who they are. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Do you know who he is? Huh? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was an amazing man. He was a pastor in Germany. And when Hitler started his rise of Nazism, he started closing down the churches. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer wouldn't close his church. And he began to write against what Hitler was pushing as supremacists. He said there's only one supreme. His book is about this thick. It's an amazing book if you ever wanted something to read. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But he was willing to even die for the cause of Christ and not submit to the Nazi regime. See, people don't know people like that.
Did he actually leave? The church got him out. He went back.
He went back. Yep. 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 Yep, they did. Corrie ten Boom. Same thing. Same thing. The hiding place. Hiding out the Jews while the Nazis were trying to kill them. I tell you, folks, people don't realize the people that are really stars that shine. They see all these movie stars and all these people that make big bucks and all these athletes that kneel on the sideline during the, you know, just, I can't even get into that. I'll start preaching something bad. But anyway, it's amazing what we think is so important. He says to Daniel, go your way. Walk faithfully. Receive your rest. Again, that's not a selfish phrase. It means be at peace. And then he says, receive your reward. I want you to know this, folks. The Lord will reward those who serve Him. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." You know what? There's going to be a day, and I honestly believe that we're all going to get to be a part of this. Now, when I say a day, I don't mean a 24-hour day. There's going to be a moment when God is going to reward His faithful people. And Daniel's going to be right there. Daniel's going to be right there. So is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So is Corrie ten Boom. So are people who work in anonymity in churches all over the world sharing the gospel. Watchman Nee. If you don't know who he is, you need to pick up a book and read about him. Just people that continuously realize that they have nothing else other than God. Daniel stood up against every leader and said, "Listen, this is who I am. This is what I do. You don't want me to pray every day? I'm still going to pray every day. Throw me in a lion's den, still going to pray. Tell my friends to kneel before that altar, they're not going to kneel before the altar." Because it was more than just a saying or a thought to Daniel. It was his life. And there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians because they want to be known as good people. But it's Christ within us that matters. And when that shines, people will know it. They'll see the real truth that's in you. Father, I ask that You'd help us all. Lord, Daniel really is kind of a short book, actually. But it's got so many things in it that just remind us that everything is put into place for a reason. You took Daniel into captivity to the Babylonians and then to the Medes and Persians so that he could be salt and light right where he was. And he was. And he was faithful. And you used him and you elevated him. And we're talking about him thousands of years later. Lord, you revealed even to him some of the things that are coming soon. Lord, I pray that we would have an urgency in our heart because the time is coming soon. I really believe it is.